We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 5 this morning. Last week we were talking about how Jesus is our great high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And this morning the writer of Hebrews is going to be telling these Hebrew Christians that they're still spiritually immature, that they can't take the meat of the word, that stuff that's hard to chew. They still need the milk of the word. They're not really ready for these teachings on Melchizedek. And the writer of Hebrews saying there's going to be a lot to say about Melchizedek here, Jesus being of the order of Melchizedek, all the way up to chapter 7. So there's a lot to talk to you guys about, you Hebrew Christians, but you're not ready to take it in yet because you still need the milk of the word. And that's what we're going at this morning. So look with me here at back to verse 10 here. Talking about Jesus, writer of Hebrews says, Jesus called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Remember, Jesus is our great high priest. He's better than the Aaronical priesthood, the Levitical priesthood in many, many ways. All those priests had to die. They only served for a certain period of time. Jesus is eternal. Our great high priest is eternal, and he's interceding for us right now at the right hand of the Father. So there's many ways that Jesus is superior to Aaron and that Levitical priesthood, and that's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. So it says, Jesus, called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, that mysterious guy we talked about back in Genesis 14, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time, in other words, there was a time that they were progressing, but all of a sudden now they're stagnating. But by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles or the ABCs of the oracles of God or the words of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. You need milk. You need Gerber's baby food instead of a nice ribeye steak. Verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food, that ribeye steak, solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, the mature ones, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, for this passage of Scripture this morning. It is challenging. Father, it's thought-provoking. Father, we all need to hear, because truth be told, Lord, we haven't arrived at full spiritual maturity, Lord. We're still a work in progress. We're still being sanctified. And so, Father God, we all have room for growth. So, Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture this morning. Father, use your word right now, Lord, to speak to our hearts, because we desperately need to hear from you, Lord. Father God, this world is messed up. It's a crazy world, Lord, and Father, we need your word more than ever. We need to know your word more than ever, and we need to put it into practice and apply it to our lives, because Father God, that's really what's going to change our hearts. So Father, we just want to say we love you, and all these things we ask your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me ask you a question. If you walked in here on a Sunday morning and you see every single adult in here sitting on the floor in a Huggies with a Binky in our mouths or a bottle of milk in our mouths, you'd probably think that's a little strange, wouldn't you? Don't dwell on that picture too much. It's hard to get that image out of your mind, all right? But we'd think it was strange. You'd think it was strange if you had a 24-year-old son who had a beard sitting in the middle of the floor with a bottle in his mouth and a pair of Huggies on, a diaper on. You'd think that was really, really strange. Well, you know, God wants us to be growing just like we expect our children to be growing. You know, when we have little ones, those kids are expected to be at a certain place in their lives. That's why we have the well baby checkups. We take them to the doctor, and the doctor says they're right on track or they're a little behind. You know, if they're a little behind, we start wondering what is going on with our child. But the doctor has these certain places that child should be, certain measurements it should be, the weight, the length, whether that child is goo-gooing at a certain age or raising its head or looking at you, making eye contact with you, or crawling or walking. It's very important to have those measurements. You probably have taken your kids when they were little and put them next to a door jamb, and you would mark how tall they were every year, and they could see how they've been growing. Well, if that child started, you know, getting smaller and smaller, you say there's a problem here. You know, or the child wasn't putting on weight like he or she should. I believe that God has a growth chart on each and every one of us. He expects us to be growing as Christians. He expects us to be at a certain place in our Christian lives. Don't tune me out. He needs us all to be growing and being at a certain place in our Christian lives. And if we're not growing, if we say we've been a Christian for 30, 40 years, and there's been no growth, and I've met people like that before who said they've been a Christian for 30, 40 years, but they still ask you the most basic questions. And I don't mind answering their questions, but there's times I thought, wait a minute, if they've been a Christian that long, this is stuff they should know. You know, if I asked you this morning, who in here has totally arrived, who in here is fully spiritual mature, please stand up. There's not one of us in here that could stand up. Not one of us. Because you know what? We're all growing. Hopefully we're all growing. Hopefully we're getting into God's Word. Hopefully we're knowing more this year, this past year, than we knew the year before. But we have to be intentional. We need to be growing as Christians. God expects us to be growing. He expects us to be taking in the meat of God's Word, those difficult areas of God's Word, and not focusing so much on the milk of the Word, the basics of the Word, the ABCs. One thing the writer to the Hebrews has been trying to get across to these Hebrew Christians is they're getting pulled in different directions. They're professing Jesus Christ, but they've got people trying to pull them back into Judaism, trying to get them to go back to the old way of life, the old covenant, go back to the sacrificial system and start focusing more on the priest and the sacrifices and the law of Moses and all these other things they were paying attention to while they were growing up as Jewish children, stuff that they had been raised on all their lives, and now they're getting pulled back. You know, they face the same thing. Paul faced the same thing in the book of Galatians, right? You know, the Judaizers were trying to tell the Christians that, you know, you need more than Jesus Christ. You need not only Jesus Christ, but you have to be circumcised as well. You have to become a Jew to be saved. And Paul says, no, that's a different gospel. That's an anathema. You know, that's a wrong gospel. You know, cursed be anybody, even an angel, if the angel was to bring you the wrong gospel. You know, curse that angel. And the same thing is happening here to where this writer of the Hebrews is telling them, Jesus Christ is all you need. Jesus Christ, the new covenant, is much better, much superior to the old covenant. Okay? The law, Judaism, all those pictures and types and things that you saw with the sacrificial system, those were the ABCs. The Old Testament was a picture book, if you will. It was a picture book. It was pictures. Babies need, little kids need pictures. Before they move on to words, before they move on to reading novels and getting into more difficult reading material, they first need those pictures, and that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. You've come past that stage where you were getting the pictures. All that stuff that you saw in the old covenant were pictures and types of Christ. Now it's time to move on to reality. Christ is reality. He's not the shadow. All that stuff in the Old Testament were types and pictures and shadows. I mentioned before, if Amy came up to me and I saw her shadow on the ground, and rather than giving her a hug, I jumped on her shadow and started embracing her shadow, she'd think that was strange. And you guys would too. Because we have to move beyond the pictures and types and shadows, those ABCs. And that's what the writer of the Hebrew Christians is saying. Move past the ABCs. Move past the pictures into the more difficult things of the New Testament. It's not that they're impossible to understand. They're hard to understand, but you have to get past the ABCs first in order to understand it. And these Hebrew Christians had stagnated. Their growth, their spiritual growth has been stunted. And that's what he's going to be addressing this morning. This is the third warning that we see in the book of Hebrews. You know, there's some warnings there, not just to scare people, but those warnings are also to encourage us and to motivate us to move forward. And that's what the writer is saying. Get past the old covenant. Focus on the new covenant. Focus on Jesus Christ, who's a better, more superior high priest, more so than Aaron was, because he's of the order of Melchizedek. But before I can go into talking about Melchizedek, you guys need to move past the milk and start feasting on ribeye steaks. Start feasting on solid food. And that's what he's talking about here. We should be eating the meat of the word. We should be taking in solid food. And Paul was talking to the Corinthian church about that as well. These Christians that have been Christians for years, and he's saying, I'm having to give you milk because you're carnal. You're acting fleshy. You're fighting with each other. You're being divisive. You're having these battles between who's the best teacher. Is it Apollos? Is it Paul? Is it Peter? Or do you guys follow Jesus Christ? You know, it was all about division in that church. They were acting like a bunch of kids. They were acting fleshly and carnal. And Paul says, can't be having that. You guys, I want to give you solid food, but you're not ready for it. You know, there's a lot of sad Christians in churches today. They have spiritually arrested development. And I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'll tell you, when I was looking at this passage this past week, it was very convicting for me, because one thing I want to do is I want to get better and better and better as a Christian, as a pastor. I want to learn more and more than I do right now. I want to spend more and more time in God's Word than I do right now. You know, people spend, the average American spends 8 hours a day in front of the TV. 8 hours a day. That's a lot of hours in a week. What if we took that 8 hours a day and we ended up spending those hours in God's Word? Because truth be told, a lot of Christians get their Bible from our daily bread. Nothing wrong with our daily bread. I like reading through our daily bread. But if that's your primary source for getting fed, you need to be in the Bible. Nothing wrong with our daily bread. Nothing wrong with other helps that you use. But the Bible has got to be our primary source. It's got to be a priority. I can't be satisfied as a pastor, as a Christian, as a brother in Christ. I cannot be satisfied with where I am right now spiritually. God expects me to move on. We'll be talking a little bit later on where God expects us to be teachers. Not just having a pulpit ministry, all of us are teachers. Every single one of us are teachers. In the home, you have kids that are watching, you have grandkids that are watching you. We're all teachers, we're all examples. We're either good teachers or good examples, or we're bad examples. But we're all called to be teachers. All of us know something about God's Word, and we need to be sharing. It's all about giving. We need to be giving out God's Word to others. If we have something they don't have, we need to be sharing it with them. We're all to be teachers. So let's jump in here and let's break this apart here. Verse 10, Jesus Christ, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. According to the order of Melchizedek, we already hit on him last week. We looked at Genesis chapter 14. We looked at Psalm 110. We looked at some other places in Hebrews where Melchizedek was mentioned. Again, we don't know a whole lot about him. We know he didn't have father or mother. We know that just like Jesus, you know, there's no beginning and end with him. I think he's a pre-incarnate appearing of Jesus Christ. Okay? But regardless, he's of the order of Melchizedek. That means he's not part of the Levitical priesthood, because a lot of Jews would be asking, well, wait a minute, how can Jesus Christ be our great high priest? Because the high priest was everything to the children of Israel. He's the one that went into the temple, into the Holy of Holies once a year on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, to make atonement for the sins of Israel. And he's the only one, the high priest was the only one that could go in the Holy of Holies. He was a big guy to the Jewish people. And they're saying, if Jesus is not part of the Levitical priesthood, he's part of the tribe of Judah, the kingly, the royal tribe, how in the world can he be a priest? Because he's not part of the Levitical priesthood. He's part of the order of Melchizedek. That's how he can be our great high priest. A great high priest who never dies. A great high priest who is far, far superior to Aaron because he was without sin. Aaron was a sinful man. Jesus, our great high priest, is without sin. He lives forever interceding for us. He's our defense attorney. He's our great high priest sitting at the right hand of the Father. No other high priest in the history of the Levitical priesthood ever sat at the right hand of God. Jesus Christ, his son, does. But the writer of the Hebrews says, I know this is complicated stuff, this is tough stuff, which I'm telling you about Melchizedek, but you're not going to be able to understand it until you get these basics down pat and you're ready to move on. Because some of you have stagnated in your spiritual growth. Now, a lot of them have probably stagnated, a lot of them have probably stopped in their spiritual growth because they're being pulled in those different directions. You know, do I stay with Jesus? Do I go back to Judaism? Do I stay in the new covenant or do I go back to the old covenant, something I grew up with? And that can be very discouraging because you don't know which direction to go. But the writer of the Hebrews is saying, look, guys, you need to move forward. Put these elementary things, these ABCs behind you. Put the picture books behind you. Even Paul, when he was talking about the law, being a schoolmaster. The schoolmaster is the one who teaches kids from picture books. Because they're not ready for Shakespeare. They're not ready for novels. They're not ready to read difficult material. But Paul said, but the law was to point us to Christ, to show that we're sinners in need of a Savior. So now the law, get rid of the ABCs, the law, and move forward in Christ. And that's where these guys were here. And the writer of the Hebrews wants them to move forward. Just like God wants us to move forward in our spiritual growth. A lot of things that last year that were very, very difficult to understand, we should study those things. We need to study to show ourselves approved, but we need to have a course of study in our own lives. Don't come in here on a Sunday morning and expect to be fed for the rest of the week just on me giving a sermon on Sunday morning. We should all be studying. And if you don't have it already, get you a good study Bible. Don't get the New World Translation or the Book of Mormon or anything like that. Get you a good study Bible. Get you a good Bible dictionary. Get you a good 2-volume commentary. Later on, you can start getting commentaries on a single book. Let's say the book of Hebrews. There's many commentaries on the book of Hebrews. But start out with something simple. A Bible dictionary, a 2-volume commentary to help you, and a study Bible to help you as you study. Challenge yourself on those tough topics that you may have skimmed over in the past, like chapter 6 we're going to be talking about next week. But do your own study. Don't depend on me and the elders or someone else to feed you. You have to do your own study or you're going to be malnourished spiritually. I know a lot of Christians who know the Bible like the back of their hands from Genesis to Revelation, but they're some of the most spiritually immature people you'll ever meet because they're not putting the Bible into practice, which is going to change their hearts, which is going to teach them to be more loving, more forgiving, more knowledgeable of God's Word, spending more time in prayer. Just because you know the Bible doesn't mean you're spiritually mature. A lot of people that know the Bible. You go to Israel. Almost every one of those tour guides you get know the Bible better than you do, better than I do, because that's their job. That's their job manual. They have to know the Bible. They have to know the Bible. And don't study the Bible just so you can be the champion at Bible trivia. Study the Bible so it changes your life. Bible study is hard work. And the stuff I'm telling you this morning is nothing new to you. But you need to hear it again. And I need to hear it again. It's hard work. But it's worth it because God expects us to be growing. We're going to be talking about being teachers here. He wants them faithful, available, and teachable. Everybody needs to be teachable. If you come in here on a Sunday and you tune out this gray-haired pastor that's sometimes in a Hawaiian shirt because you know more than he does, and you don't listen to the sermon, shame on you. Because God expects us to be teachable no matter where we're at, knowledge-wise of the Bible or whatever. That means we need to stay focused. Whether I'm up behind this pulpit or Andrew or Matt, we need to stay focused on that word that they're giving out and not tune them out because we think we know more and they can't teach us anything. We need to be teachable. Look at verse 11. The writer of Hebrews says, talking about Jesus Christ in the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing, which means slow to learn, sluggish. You know, you're a sluggard. That's basically what he's telling them. He's not saying they're stupid or they can't get this. It's just that they're slow to listen. They don't want to listen. They don't want to learn because they know it all. Or it doesn't matter to them anymore. We're going back to Judaism, so we don't need all this New Testament stuff. All right? He's saying they're slow to learn, of whom we have much to say about Melchizedek. Since you have become dull of hearing, nothros is that Greek word which means dull, okay, dull of hearing. You'll also see that in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, that same Greek word nothros, which means dull, where it says that you do not, make sure that you do not become sluggish. It's the same word, sluggish, the same word for dull of hearing. And that's the root of the problem right here. They become dull of hearing. They just don't listen anymore. They're not interested. Whether it's because of being persecuted, they've got all this other stuff on their mind, their families have disowned them, they're being pulled back into Judaism. Whatever the reason is, he's saying you've become sluggish, slow of listening. You're not focusing anymore on this stuff here. But to grow spiritually, we need to make sure that we're staying sharp. And that means we need to continuously study, okay? Not just the latest Christian book, or not just a series of Christian fiction about the end times, okay? We need to stay in God's Word. We need to stay in this book. This book has got to be priority number one. It's got to be. This book is the mind of Christ. It's the mind of God. In order to know the will of God, we've got to know what's in this book. That's got to take priority over any other reading we do. It's got to. But we've got to stay sharp. Solomon knew that. Listen to what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. He says, if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength, but wisdom brings success. We have to stay sharp. We have to sharpen the axe. We have to stay in God's Word. We have to study and read and learn what's in here. We have to meditate on Scripture. We have to memorize Scripture. We have to stay sharp. We have to be intentional about continuously growing and becoming more knowledgeable about the things of Christ, about His Word. We have to be intentional. Jesus quoted Isaiah 6 to His disciples in Matthew 13. Listen to what Jesus said. He says, "Hearing, you will hear and shall not understand. And seeing, you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." May we have an eye for the Word of God. May we hear what the Holy Spirit is trying to speak to us through the Word of God. May we take the time, not just 7 minutes before you head out the door, not just 3 minutes in our daily bread. May we take the time, put aside the time. We all have the same amount of time, 168 hours a week. How are we using our time? We've got to be intentional and set aside the time to spend time in God's Word, to listen for that still small voice, to let Him speak to us, to keep a pencil and a pad of paper next to us to write down what the Holy Spirit is trying to impress on our hearts. We have to be intentional. Lord, what are you trying to show me in this passage? You don't have to read a whole chapter a day in the Bible. Take one verse that's really spoken to your heart and say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Trust me, you can take one verse of the Bible and you can spend months months on that one verse. You can. And that's a good thing. That's why we pick it apart. That's why we try and get every single thing we can out of His Word. Because God wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to every single one of us. These guys here, the writer of the Hebrews is talking to, they just weren't listening. They just weren't seeing. They just weren't focusing. Whatever it was that was distracting them, it was pulling themselves away from Jesus Christ and the new covenant. And they were in danger of going back to the old covenant. How are we spending our time? Because you know, truth be told, our time is God's time. We're going to be judged at the Bema Seat of Christ as Christians on how we used our time, what kind of stewards we were with the time that God gave us. And we're going to have rewards based on what kind of stewards we were, on how we used our time, on what our Christian walks were like. We're going to be judged for that, and not for salvation, but for rewards. But it's God's time. All our time is God's time. Everything we have is God's. We're stewards of what He's given us. Look at verse 12. The writer of the Hebrews says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles, the ABCs of the oracles of the words of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food," talking about the meat of the word. We're all teachers. We're good teachers or we're bad teachers. Our kids are looking up to us. Our grandkids are looking up to us. Others are looking up to us. The kids in this church are looking up to us. Our kids are looking to us to see if we're the same people Monday through Saturday they see on Sunday. And if we're not the same people Monday through Saturday, our kids are going to look at us and our grandkids are going to look at us as hypocrites. All this church stuff, we wonder why so many kids leave the church. They see that mom and dad are not walking the talk. That mom and dad are different on Sundays for a few hours than they are Monday through Saturday. They see they're not taking it seriously. When mom and dad doesn't take church seriously or getting into God's word seriously, the kids are going to pick up on that. If mom and dad stay home from church, then the kids are going to be saying, well, wait a minute, if mom and dad aren't in church and they're not taking us to church, it must not be that important. We've got to be able to walk the talk because we're going to be either good examples or bad examples, good teachers or bad teachers, every single one of us. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, the church at Corinth was a messed up church. It was in trouble. They had factions, they had fighting, they were misusing the spiritual gifts. It was a mess. That church was a mess. Listen to what Paul says. Paul says to the church at Corinth, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal." Carnal means fleshy. Chili con carne. Carnal is where they get con carne from. It's just like Christian con carne, fleshy Christians, all right? "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." He says, Paul says, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife," this is in the church. 2,000 years later, we're still experiencing envy and strife and divisions in the church. Nothing's changed because you know what? Man's heart hasn't changed. "For until now you're not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" Paul says, in a negative sense here, I'm having to feed you milk and not solid food because you're not ready for solid food because you're still acting like spiritual babies. And these are people who have been Christians for a while. Paul gives a negative spin on the milk here. Listen to what Peter says. Peter gives a positive spin on milk. Listen to this here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Peter says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word." Just like newborn babes desire milk, they don't want a steak. They want milk. And they better get that milk or they're going to raise heck, right? When that baby wants milk, that baby is going to get his milk or her milk. or there's going to be heck to pay. So Peter says, desire the pure milk of the Word. Just like babies desire milk, we need to desire the Word of God, just like that baby desires, and not only desires, but demands milk. So just as babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And a lot of people say, wait a minute, there's a contradiction in the Bible here. Paul saying milk is not good, Peter saying it is good. They're using the same metaphor, just like the writer of the Hebrews. It's the same metaphor, but in two different ways. Okay? We need to desire God's Word, just like babies desire milk. But if we've been a Christian for a while, we should desire the solid food of the Word of God, not the milk, not the ABCs, not the elementary stuff, not the stuff that we already learned that's very basic. We need to be moving on. We need to be growing. We need to be moving on spiritually. And that's what he's saying here. Verse 13, the writer of the Hebrews continues, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." How are we going to get skilled in the Word of God? How are we going to know the Word of God? How are we going to apply it? How are we going to know the will of God unless we're in this book? Unless we're reading it and studying it and meditating it and memorizing it. You memorize, you learn what you want to memorize and learn. What's important to you? You know, back in that time, back in biblical times, back in the Old Testament, they were memorizing entire books of the Bible. And it was an oral tradition back there too, so they were hearing it as well, but they were memorizing it. If you want it bad enough, this is the Word of God. This is God's very words that He breathed. When I read something, anyone reads something to you from behind this pulpit or in a Bible study or whatever, out of God's Word, that's the same as if God were speaking to you, because that's His Word. It's the Word of God. But see, we've gotten to the point where we look at the Bible as just some novel, some other book with printed words on it, and we forget this is God's Word. This is His Word which He has breathed. This is the mind of God. You want to know what God is like? Get into His Word. Get into the Gospels and read about Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. You want to know who God is? Get into His Word and stay in His Word. This is the mind of God. We should crave God's Word because it's His Word. Verse 14, "But solid food belongs to those who are full of age or spiritually mature, that is, those who by reason of use or practice have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." You want to know what's good and evil? You get into this Word here. You want to know what God expects from His kids? You get into His Word. But we need to take God's Word seriously. Listen to how Josiah felt about God's Word. 2 Chronicles 34, verses 29 to 33. "Then King Josiah sent and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites, and all the people, great and small. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep His commandments and His testimonies and His statutes with all his heart and with all his soul." I ain't there yet. "So to keep the commandments with all his heart and soul, to perform the words of the covenant," he's a doer of the word, "perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And he made all who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin take a stand. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Thus Josiah removed all the abominations from all the country that belonged to the children of Israel, and made all who were present in Israel diligently serve the Lord their God. All his days they did not depart from following the Lord God of their fathers." What a godly king he was. And he put a lot of importance on God's Word. Let me ask you a question. How many of you that say you've been a Christian for a long time have read through the entire Bible? Don't have to raise your hand. That should be a challenge to each and every one of us to get into God's Word, read it on a regular basis. If you have never read the Bible from cover to cover and you've been a Christian, you say you've been a Christian for 5, 10, 15, 30, 40 years, you got some work to do. We all have some work to do because truth be told, we're all behind that learning curve. We all have some growing to do. And all of us can grow. None of us have arrived. But my challenge to me and to you is to stay in God's Word and to remember that God's Word is the mind of God. These are His words. They're not just words in a book that sit on our shelf until we pick it up again on Sunday and bring it to church. It should be number one, the number one priority in our lives, because how in the world are we going to know what God expects of us if we're not in His Word? So that's my challenge to you. Stay in God's Word, whether you have to use a program to get through God's Word in a year. If you do that, slow down and not just read through it, but actually study. Actually study His Word. And then give it out or pass it on to somebody else. Because you know what? We're all teachers. Amen? Every single one of us are teachers. We can teach somebody something out of God's Word. And I pray that we have an urgency to share the gospel with a lost and dying world. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Father God, thank you for another year of life. Father, we are looking forward to you coming back. But Father God, if you tarry, Lord, for another year or two or three, Father God, we're here to do your work. We want to be good stewards of what you've given us. And Father God, we want to be good stewards of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Father, give us an urgency. Give us a commitment and a heart to share what we learn with others, Lord. Because the most important thing we can give anybody is the gospel. Because this world is so temporary, Lord. This lifetime is so short. It's just a vapor. And eternity is a long time. So, Father God, give us an urgency, Lord. And give us the wisdom to share with others. But Father God, give us a hunger and a desire and a thirst to read, to heed, to feed on your word, and to truly learn it and know it and put it into practice, Lord, because that's really what's going to change our hearts. That's really what's going to change our lives. So Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for the gospel. And Father, I thank you for this church family. Lord God, just bless them this week. Keep them safe. And Jesus, we just want to say we love you. We absolutely love you. And thank you for what you did for us at the cross, Lord. And all these things we ask in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.